Israelites have been assigned a monumental task, one that they will often feel the responsibility for. God commissioned them in the training and upbringing of their children, a task that he assigned to none other in this world. Paul reminds the Ephesians of this responsibility in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Children are to be trained, brought up to be a particular kind of people. Only one way to be that kind of person, and that's trained to be. First, an ideal, the situation for training, is parents. Fathers, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, children need to be trained, and parents are assigned the job of doing that training. I now call your attention to three special views that children need to learn in order to be successful in life and for eternity. Number one, children must learn a proper view of self. It's easy for children to see self as the center of the whole world. It is also an easy error for loving parents to think that they're doing right to cater to this view that children are the center of everything. It may convince them that they especially love their children. Yet Paul set forth quite a different principle in Galatians, the 4th chapter. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, and is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father." Now did you notice? The child is not the ruler of the house. He's not the center of attention of the whole family. Though one day he may rule that house, in his childhood he is little different than a slave. Not intended to be harsh to the child, nor in any way promote some abuse. It's just to recognize the station of a child in the family. In our family, we began with a philosophy that our children came to live with us, not that we were going to live with the children. And that makes a lot of difference. It determines a good bit how things will be set in order. Now the child sees self as the center, and that makes him selfish. That's the natural view of a baby. The baby must be taught something else. He must be trained in some other way so he can be something other than a selfish and egotistical person. And that work has to be the work of parents. In Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, if people, as they are grown, must learn to deny self, we need to recognize that you can't do that with a view that sees self as the center of the universe. Deny self aims at an unselfish service. While this self at the center is essentially selfish, that's opposite ends of the pole. Paul also points to an ideal for Christians in Romans, the 12th chapter. In verse 10 he said, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." Now what is that? What did he say? Giving preference to others. Putting others first. Our babies come into our home with a cry of "I want." It doesn't matter to them if they cry "I want" in the middle of the night. And their cry is "me first." Oh, they can't articulate it, but they get the message across. It doesn't matter to them how you feel or what else is happening. They just want what they want, and they want it right now. But they need to be taught and trained to a different philosophy than that. The philosophy that Christians need to have and that children need to learn early in their training is a matter of seeing a preference to others, of allowing others to be first and to be considered first. In Romans 12 and 3, Paul said, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to each one a measure of faith." We're not to suggest that we teach children that they're no good or worthless or second-class people. That would be foreign to the very principle that we're studying in the Scriptures. In fact, this passage, it says a man ought not to think more highly of himself, says, as a consideration to start with, that you think highly. Just don't abuse it. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. To think highly of others, to prefer others, does not mean you have to put self down. Think highly of self. The Bible teaches it. Man's worth more than all the world, the Bible teaches. God loved a man, and Jesus loved him enough in order to die on the cross for him. And man by this is taught to think highly of himself, but not too highly, and to learn to treat other people in preference before self. That's a terribly important lesson for us to teach our children so that they can be among other people in such a way that they'll get along. In Philippians, the second chapter, the same notion is said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Now, these basic lessons are things that ought to be taught early in the lives of children. They are a necessity that is better than the idea of viewing self as the center of everything. Treat others as if they were better than you. Not that other people are better than you, but a view of preferring them and treating them as if they were. In Romans, the 15th chapter, an allusion is made that even Jesus did not please himself. He put others first and considered others before himself. Now, if this lesson, this view about self, needs to be learned by children that begin in this world to be selfish and must be changed in order to be what they need to be to live successfully among men and before God, the question, who is to teach that lesson? Who better than parents from the early days of their infancy to train them in the ideas of a consideration for other people and to see other people to be preferred and to help above self? And where is it to be taught? That lesson to be taught? We hope not in society, in some criminal institution. To be taught preferably in the home. That's the place where that learning should be done. There are three views I want to talk to you about. The second is, children need to learn a view of friends. One of the saddest things in the world is a person with no friends. One of the worst things possible to do to children is to train them up in such a way that they'll not make friends or have friends in this world. That's a guarantee of a terrible loneliness. In Proverbs 18 and 24, the wise man said, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." There's a friend who's closer than a brother? Yes. But many children will grow up and never have such a friend. Some people will go through their whole life and never really have such a friend. Why? Because they've not learned the necessary lesson that goes along with that. If a man is to have friends, he must show himself friendly. Learn some principles of friendship. Now listen, parents baby their children, cater to them, allow their children to be rude and obnoxious and selfish, and seem surprised their children have no friends. No friends as children. Parents don't want their children to play with such a child. Other children don't enjoy it. They have no friends. But worse, unless the lessons of friendship are somewhere taught, you'll find that child going to school and nothing's going to change. He'll just be in school with no friends. And the lament may be, the teachers just don't like him. That's not unusual. An obnoxious child, not trained to have any friends among the teachers. The kids are unfriendly. Well, it may not be the kids are unfriendly. He may just be a child, untaught in having friends. Change schools, put him in another school, you think it'll be different? No. Move and change towns and live in another town, and you'll find the people in that town seem unfriendly too. And you have no friends there either. Some folks go from one church to another, and they leave saying, this church just wasn't friendly. And they find the next church isn't friendly either. And the next is just as unfriendly. Problem's not in the church or the town or the school. It may well be in people who've not learned that in order to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. A basic rule that people have to learn to live in this world if they're going to live successfully. Otherwise, they're going to be doomed to have no friends. And if this lesson of friendship must be learned by our children, who's going to teach it? Parents are to teach it. Where is it going to be taught? It ought to be taught in the home. View number three for our children. Children need to learn the right view of work. They need to know how to work, not just a particular job. They need to know about working and being tired. If that's not true, if our children don't learn to work, don't be surprised later in religious things that they'll not prize working for the Lord either. A fellow who escapes all kinds of work and sees no value of work and doesn't want to work will try to get out of work for the Lord too. And the best you'll ever have is a response from such a person that, do I have to? Learn how to work. Teach your children how to work. They need to know that it's needful to work. It's the right thing to do. Fellow who doesn't work is on the wrong side. And our children need to know that. That the people who avoid work are not the upstanding people. Children need to see and to respect the worker. And they need to be taught and trained that it's good. Work is good. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he said, let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good. In the Garden of Eden, even, God prepared a work for a man to do in that garden and keeping it. And beside that, it's a provision for happiness. People are not happy who don't have some work to do. One of our great problems in this nation has been people not learning the value of work. And that when they don't work and when they're idle, they have done something to destroy both morals and happiness. These three views are terribly important things. Children must learn the lesson about the work ethic, but who will teach them? Parents teach them. Where will they be taught? In the home. These three views should be taught by parents who believe and who practice the very same things. Children should thoroughly learn them. Otherwise, they'll hardly see how to live, nor see how to please God. I urge you, parents, train your children to see the values of these things. This is Joe Fitch, wishing you a good day.